Good day, everybody. I have the honor today of introducing Laura Fielding. Some of you who are longtime Radio Tacoma fans remember that several years ago, Laura and I did an interview about her work with Whole Washington. Well, several years have passed, and Laura is still working and volunteering for Whole Washington. So now we're going to get an update on what the progress has been. And I'm just going to briefly tell you listeners that Whole Washington is the campaign in Washington for single-payer health care for all. All right. Well, Laura, good morning.
Good morning, Marilyn, and good morning, Radio Tacoma. It's great to be here.
And where do you want to begin?
Well, let's begin right here in the present, where we're at. Whole Washington for Universal Healthcare. We have a multi sort of strategy or pronged approach. We've introduced both legislation in the form of a Senate bill over the years, and we've also utilized the power of the direct process of ballot initiatives, which is a wonderful form of direct democracy that we are so very fortunate here in Washington State to have at our fingertips. It's really just a question or a matter of letting as many people know that Whole Washington is a grassroots, nurses-led working class coalition. We are all volunteers, and we have been since it was founded in late 2016. And I can go back in a little bit to sort of say how I got involved with Whole Washington. But here in the present moment, what we are working on in deeply in the midst of is ballot initiative I-1471 is our initiative number. And it's an initiative to the legislature, which means because Washington State can do both, we can file an initiative to the people and we can file an initiative to the legislature. The first time in 2018 that we ran an initiative, we did an initiative to the people. This one also with the legislature, similarly, it goes directly to the ballot for a vote directly from the people. The difference is that with an initiative to the legislature, we have a much longer time period to gather signatures.
Yes.
Because, it was in 2018, it was so inspiring because we were brand new. Everyone was just so fired up. And it was, of course, pre-COVID. So people had a lot of energy for it. But now, post-COVID, the thing is, there's even increased realization of how healthcare should not be tied to employment status, and actually how many lives would have been saved if we had a national Medicare for all system, and here in Washington before we're able to break through and get this at the federal level. We're working here in Washington State, because I don't know if listeners are aware of this, but in Canada, over 50 years ago, Saskatchewan province was the first province to push and fight to pass a single-payer system, and they enacted it, and then other provinces started to follow suit and wanted it, and then they got their national...
So that's one way to do it.
That's one way to do it.
Can I ask you a question? In the state of Washington, doing the legislative process, do you have any legislative people that... legislators who are sponsoring it and helping you along?
Yes. So when we introduced last year, when we introduced Senate Bill 5204, I think we've had a couple of iterations, and each time we've managed to, with our legislative writing committee, which again is regular people, it's not lobbyists or corporate people mm-hmm. writing this legislation, and the financial study was done by Dr. Gerald Friedman, who is a progressive economist, has found that if we pass this legislation, either the bill or we get it to the ballot and vote on it to pass it, it will save the state of Washington at a minimum $9 billion every single year while covering every single person.
So which legislators?
Yes. So the prime sponsor of our Senate bill is Senator Bob Hasegawa.
I knew it.
Yes. And we actually had, I believe, six other co-sponsors. I cannot list those right now for you. But what I would suggest people do if they want to, and everyone hopefully does this, is go to wholewashington.org, and under endorsements, you can see which legislators are currently endorsing it. And you can also see which of the LDs have chosen to endorse and are behind this. And if your LD or your legislators, your senators and your representatives are not so far endorsing, we would really love it. One of the actions you can do is you can contact your legislator and ask them to please endorse and get behind Whole Washington. What we really so far have not been able to get is a public hearing. Senator Annette Cleveland is the chair of the Senate Healthcare Committee, and we have not been able to get a public hearing for our legislation, which the process is when you introduce legislation and you have seven Senate co-sponsors, it's supposed to be ushered through the legislative process, which includes a public hearing so that people can testify.
And you have seven Senate co-sponsors?
Right. I believe it's our prime sponsor plus six co-sponsors.
Wow. And so you have the qualifications now to get a public hearing.
Absolutely.
But the head of that, I'd say her name again.
Senator Annette Cleveland, and I forget the name of her district, I should know that, but it's down in Vancouver.
Okay.
So
we should contact her and let her know that we really want a public hearing.
Absolutely, because this is what is meant to happen. People should get an opportunity to testify if they have healthcare stories, they should be able to listen to the testimony, and then they should be able to contact and push their representatives, whether they support it or whether they don't. That's really how it's, mm-hmm. Representative democracy is supposed to work. In the meantime, and we will be pushing more for that as we enter the new legislative session when it begins. In the meantime, we're very in the midst of gathering signatures because we haven't been able yet to push them to give us a hearing and pass it through the legislature.
You're applying pressure.
We are applying pressure. And how we do that is we get people to go out into their community, and that's what we need to be doing anyway, because corporately owned media has disseminated and continues to disseminate a lot of industry talking points, industry propaganda. And so there are many, many benefits to running a ballot initiative, and one of them is we get it to the ballot so that we can vote on it directly. And the other is so that we get out into our communities, ask them how they're doing, ask them what their concerns are, ask them, will you support universal health care? Many people that we ask say, don't we already have this? Some people say, gosh, we need that. Why don't we have that by now? You get a whole myriad of questions and answers. And this is how we build and grow a community and educate people who might have questions. So, the pressing need right now is for people to go volunteer at whatever level and time commitment that you have. And the beautiful thing about Whole Washington is that we have always welcomed and included people of all these different walks of life, socioeconomic backgrounds, all different.
It's a big tent.
It's a big tent. And so, if you have a talent or a skill set, for instance, Marilyn met me through, kind of the arts and she was doing, this play, and she's with the Raging Grannies, and I had been invited to come over and join a group that she was doing several years ago, and I brought my knitting because I had started knitting these red berets for Medicare for All. Well, Whole Washington, that is really how I got in touch with Whole Washington, you know, in the fall of 2017, as I was just posting these berets online saying, let's knit for nurses in the 99%, crochet for care, when are we marching for Medicare for All? And a nurse, Catherine Lewandowski, who is now the vice chair of Whole Washington, reached out to me and said, I'd love to hear about this idea. This sounds really amazing. And she came down and visited and said, do you know about Whole Washington? And I said, I don't. I really am just not connected up with local universal health care, but I would love to hear more about it. And that was the beginning of my connection with Whole Washington. The nurses are leaders, and they are a powerful connective force in this movement. One of the really prominent volunteers who's doing so much here in Pierce County, Tacoma, is Pam Ketzner, and she's a retired RN. She was in hospice for many, many, many years, and out in her spare time, she is out gathering signatures, speaking to other people that she knows that's in her network. And, you know, the nurses are really leading the charge on this because they know we need it. So
yeah. Yeah.
It's a pleasure to be co-organizing with her, and she and I meet every single Wednesday in Wright Park. It's a little bit of a change of pace because we like to try to go where there's maybe as many people, you know, to events. So we'll be down at the Tacoma
Hilltop Festival.
The Hilltop Festival. We'll be down there.
Will you have a table down there?
I think so.
Okay.
I think Pam is working on that.
Good.
So yeah,
good.
So you can find us down there if you want to come down and get a board. And
well, what time are you down at Wright Park when you meet?
Well, we meet every week at 11 o'clock near the fountain.
Okay.
And we do this because that's a place for new volunteers or people who maybe want to have some questions, or maybe they feel like a little nervous of, well, I've never gathered signatures before.
Or maybe just plain curiosity.
Or just curiosity, exactly. So,
yeah.
And it's beautiful there. And so while we don't gather a ton of signatures every week, it's more like our get together, our community building, and you know, in beautiful Wright Park, and it's just
yeah.
a lovely place for us to connect every week. So we really welcome everyone to come on down.
Well, Laura, I'm listening to you, and I've got several thoughts. Personally, well, first of all, you have come so far. You've now got many years at this, since 2016, under your belt. That's working on something intensely for many years. And you are able to be so fluent when you're describing what you're doing and why. And it looks like your organization and the movement has really bloomed from a tiny little seed to now this huge, I mean, you were telling me about a film. Tell the listener about the film.
Yeah. Oh, I would love to. I want to, first, a little thought occurred to me when you talked about how it's grown from a tiny seed. And I just wanted to shout out some of the amazing new, you know, the growing infrastructure and coalition partnerships. You know, Andre Stackhouse is our volunteer campaign director. So his DMs are always open. He's on Facebook. He's on Twitter. Probably all.
How do you spell Stackhouse?
Stackhouse is STACK8 and then house, like you spell
okay.
house.
So Andre Stackhouse on Facebook.
And on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if he's on other platforms, but you can find him, and probably his contact information is obviously on wholewashington.org.
Say that again slowly.
Oh, wholewashington.org.
Okay, so we've got wholewashington.org.
Yes.
If they want to like it on Facebook, they just go to Whole Washington?
Yeah, it's every platform is like at Whole Washington.
At Whole Washington.
I mean, on Facebook, it's
okay.
just Whole Washington.
And if they yeah. happen to be down at Wright Park at 11:30 on a...
It's every Wednesday, and we... Sometimes we're a few minutes late, so maybe 11:30 is a good time. But our meeting time is from 11 to 1, so
okay.
we try
and
to...
that's down by the fountain.
Yep, by the fountain. You'll see us with our boards and our red and all of that. So, yeah, and we've recently received the endorsement of Poor People's Campaign.
Oh, good.
You know, and I forget, PSL, there's quite a few new groups and parties. The Black Panther Party is gathering signatures. We're getting all these sort of...
Do you have the lived experience group gathering signatures yet?
The lived experience, that sounds
familiar. That's for people who have experienced homelessness.
That sounds like maybe we do, very, very familiar.
Okay.
Encouraging people to look at the website, which is so thorough. Any questions that you have, if you just go to frequently asked questions and all of the funding, it's all there. I really ask.
Now, I'm going to ask you also again, because every time we kick off a new year, the number of the bill changes. What is this year's number?
It's fair. I think it's every 2 years that we have to file.
Yeah.
And I believe it's 5204 is the most recent.
And that's it's Senate Bill.
Oh, 5204.
Okay. And is there a congressional bill?
No, we actually, I don't know how much I want to go into that. We certainly look forward to this year, hoping that we have someone to introduce a partner bill. We didn't have a partner bill introduced.
Okay.
There's really, it's important that people understand that while we have growing support, and that's based on the pressure from the community, there's a lot of industry, pharma and insurance lobby money. And I think probably most of the listeners understand this, but you know, and unfortunately, people on both sides of the political aisle in both parties do take some of some industry money as
if
their
somebody
campaign.
Somebody is paying your salary.
That's
you
right.
You don't want to bite that hand, and that is definitely what happens.
Right, right.
Politicians become beholden.
Right. And it's and they do know how to say the good talking points. Healthcare is a human right. Well, yes, healthcare is a human right. But we do have to look deeply at this and say, well, they can say those talking points, but honestly, if you look at who has endorsed, they need to go further. It's not just about speaking, it's a human right, or, you know, we can save lives and we can be fiscally responsible. It's also like, what are you going to do to make this a reality?
Yeah, if you don't, it's just blah, blah, blah.
It's blah, blah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's great. Let's do talk about the documentary. And that's called Healing Us.
Healing Us. Okay.
And the filmmaker, his name is Kenny Ballantyne, just how you spell Valentine, but with a B. That is a project that is nearly a year and a half in the making. He reached out after he heard me on a progressive podcast in February of 2021, talking about Whole Washington and, you know, the creativity of the Red Berets in as a coalition. So kind of both of those things. And he reached out and said, has anyone done a documentary on the Red Berets movement and this effort to craft for Whole Washington and simultaneously Medicare for All? And I said, no. And he said, well, would you like to collaborate? And I didn't really believe it at first because, I mean, I did, you know, I responded. I was kind of gobsmacked, really, because we had worked so hard to just try to get some media. You know, of course, Marilyn had been very good here with Radio Tacoma, but it's difficult to get coverage for. Particularly, people get excited about candidates, but sometimes initiatives, even though it should sort of be the opposite in a way.
It definitely should be.
Because we're talking about, you know, hundreds
of... It's not a sport. I don't care which side wins.
We want it's about the policy. And see, and the thing about a ballot initiative or working on the issue is that it brings people together. So we have people from from the Democrats and from many different parties. I'm so sorry. So Kenny recently came up because it's in its final stages. He had called it a rough cut. It's not very rough. It's pretty, It's pretty polished. The only thing that it was missing when he came up on July 30th for a Seattle private screening, he gifted Washington State activists, Whole Washington and Red Berets activists, the beautiful gift of the first private screening. So that was beautiful. So we charged $14.71 per ticket, for our initiative number. And then we had, and it was very hot. I don't know if everyone remembers that we were in really a heat wave. And so
I think I was dealing with COVID.
So it was up in Seattle at Washington Hall, and it was beautiful. And we had a solid but sort of intimate gathering. There will be more opportunities to see the film. He'll be back up here in the fall, but I don't have dates for that yet. But we're looking hopefully at Port Townsend and Tacoma.
Oh, good.
So we will keep you apprised of that.
Well, the Grand will show it.
Yes. Yeah. The Grand is definitely, what I let Kenny know. We would probably organize it at the Grand.
So the film is called again,
Healing Us.
And tell me more about it.
First of all, people can find the trailers probably if you look on YouTube, Healing Us, but he also has a website, and that's archivistentertainment.com. So if people want to go and see and read about the film and look at the two official trailers. Anyway, he announced up at the private screening, because the one thing it was really missing was an official narrator. The person that's narrating the film right now is Maddie Purves, who is his editor, and who he credits as being really just an equal partner in this film. She's absolutely brilliant and a beautiful human being. So he announced at up in Seattle that night for us that actually Susan Sarandon will be narrating the film.
And oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's going to have huge draw.
Yeah, yeah. Because they were assured that the film, by a few people in the film industry, that the quality and the messaging of it is so powerful and beautiful. That if they had someone, with a national presence that's a bit famous, it would have a very, very, strong likelihood of being, picked up by a big company.
I want to just dream a little bit too, because I have a former professor, Dr. Gilda Shepherd, who produced a documentary about the school to prison pipeline and criminal justice or injustice. Mm. And her film is called Been Down So Long. Mm. And it actually got an award at the Sundance Film Festival.
Yeah.
Do you think that this might be heading that way too?
I know that Kenny wanted to submit. And I don't know about under the deadline wire for this year, but yes, that would certainly be,
because that will give it more exposure.
Absolutely,
too.
Yeah. So I've got the goosebumps.
Aww.
Let's talk. So the process that happened and who's in the film and who might people know, because the process happened really quickly after he reached out. He said, "Would you like to collaborate?" The first trip that he did was right up here in Tacoma, Washington. He came here to Tacoma. We organized. We, as in Whole Washington and all of our, and Red Berets and our coalition partners, organized a demonstration outside of Representative Kilmer's office, demanding that he co-sponsor, demanding that he co-sponsor Representative Jayapal's Medicare for All legislation.
So I bet he didn't do it.
He didn't do it. That's a big, but so that was one piece of the first filming, was that rally. And then it was really a full weekend of filming. So we had the rally, and then he also wanted to get the creative, the goodness of the craft, of the knitting and crocheting, the craftivism and connectivity of the Red Berets. So we had two separate kind of filming. We went down to Fibers at Cedra, which is a local, wonderful, beautiful yarn shop. And I just love them down there. And they're like, they keep me in red yarn. forever. So anyway, we went down there. We got some of the local craftivists to come down and meet there, and we filmed there. And we also filmed at Tacoma Waldorf School, some of the children crafting. And so that part could bring some tears to my eyes, because the film opens up with Amy Villela's story of losing her daughter because she didn't have health insurance. And I don't want to give, you know, get too much into the details, because I really want people to see the film. But it does start with that absolutely gut-wrenching, just tragic story. And then it moves into the hope of these children crafting together and building building community, you know, just and creating. That's what we're doing, whether we're knitting or crocheting or making signs or out gathering signatures or calling out.
It's solidarity.
It's
and about, things aren't going to change on right. a big level unless you've got solidarity across so many demographics.
Absolutely.
And I want to just let the listener know a little bit about Red Berets, because it caught my imagination big time. When Laura told me that people all across the country, women and men, were knitting and crocheting Red Berets and sending them to her to distribute on behalf of Washington State being able to be one of the first states to initiate single-payer health care, Medicare for all, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I just envisioned these people in Florida, people in the red states, sending a wave of Red Berets. And then I was thinking about Madame Dufarge and the French Revolution and how revolutionary this was, because it would change everything.
Yeah. Yeah, and since that time, the Red Berets, you know, so in the film, there's, who were the next people we reached out to after that first weekend of filming? You know, so we got, and he did some interviews. He did, he really cast a broad net. So he interviewed so many, probably 14 or 16, very heavily involved, you know, and a couple of them being candidates, Jason Call, who's on the board of Whole Washington, and some of our nurses. He really interviewed quite a few people that first weekend. And who traveled out to us for the rally but an activist named Scott DeNoyer, who lives in upstate New York. He organizes for the New York Health Campaign. He's always doing actions in solidarity for the National Medicare for All movement. His hashtag that he uses, and his son's story, Danny's story, is also in the film. And he, for suicide prevention, he uses the hashtag, "No one fights alone." And so we've sort of brought that aboard, and we use that, that phrase, and that, it's a deep philosophy about how we're going to achieve getting health care for everyone across this whole country, because it's never been a question of we need this for everyone in this country. The question is, how do we get there? And so Scott and myself and many, many other activists are fighting on all fronts. We are not doing this state by state. We're doing this through the states. So it's through this solidarity, you know, that he came out. He was here also. He's come back multiple times, and you see him in his Red Beret. He's New York Red Berets now. So they've done actions out there, out protesting Centene and Fidelis. But we are very strongly connected now. And he came out for the private screening, and he, that week, for the 7 days that he was here, collected just on his own, 632 signatures for Hull Washington.
Wow.
And as a signature captain, his Washington teammates chipped in a little bit, and then that brought the number up over 900 signatures in just a week.
I was really involved in the campaign in 2016, I think it was. And I'm really embarrassed to say that this time around, I didn't, not because I didn't want to, but because, frankly, my body is falling apart. And I didn't have the energy or capacity to. But my heart is totally, totally with this campaign.
Well, you've still handed me 12 or 14 filled up pages for this campaign, which what we tell people when people are signing this, and we get someone who's really enthusiastic to sign, who is like, oh, we absolutely need this. My thing that I usually always say to people is, oh, would you like, do you think you could take a petition and maybe just get your friends and family to sign? Mm-hmm. Even if you don't fill the petition up to 20, if you just got, you know, your friends and family, and whether that's 6 signatures or 14, or you fill up the 20 and get it back to me, or, you know, bring it back down to Wright Park or mail it in. The address is on the back of the petition. So if everybody just chipped in and got a few signatures, and Marilyn, 14 pages is a significant contribution, well, but I know you're comparing it to what you,
yeah,
what you were,
I mean,
able to
I
do.
Made it my mission the yes. last time around. But I'm thinking when we have a date for when it's showing in Tacoma,
yes,
because a lot of people that you approach to sign say, well, I have to read the whole thing, so I'm not going to do it now. And then it drops off their radar.
Right.
But boy, if you could get the talk about it ahead of time,
yeah,
and take those people with questions to the documentary,
yes,
it would answer a lot of their questions.
Absolutely.
And oh my God.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, the film then moved out from Washington State. Who Hull Washington, Georgia Davenport, who is the founder of Hull
yeah.
Washington, you know, she put in her ideas straight away when we involved her, when mm-hmm. we asked her. So she also was interviewed and is in the film. And she had two strong suggestions for the film. And that was that we put Kenny in touch with Wendell Potter, who had been, and I don't, for those of you who maybe don't know, Wendell Potter is a former PR executive for Cigna insurance. So he was literally someone who was paid very, very well to write industry propaganda and to run cover and kind of smooth over some of the more horrendous stories.
So he worked for the dark side.
He worked for the dark side, and he now writes books whistleblowing. This is exactly the game. We write the talking points for both the quote-unquote
yeah.
left, people who are watching and listening to more.
Oh, that's a powerful
right?
ally.
That's a powerful ally. And his, again, I have the goosebumps because he tells also the story in the film of what eventually made him say, I can't do this anymore. And he also speaks to the need for solidarity in this movement between, it's not a versus, it's not a state versus national. It's let's all expand our support for both. And how we get there, we none of us really know how we're going to get there first.
You would have thought that the COVID pandemic would
be the catalyst.
Pushed us.
Yes. Yes.
But that drug and medical industry is so powerful and
yes.
so strong and so deep in the pockets of so many legislators.
Indeed. Yes.
And that's, I mean, a lot of people, it's taken the blinders off of a lot of people's eyes.
I believe it absolutely has. So Wendell is in the film, and then, and Hull Washington was in touch with him because of these books. During COVID, Hull Washington was doing sort of in the downtime where people couldn't be out and we were social distancing. Once a month, they were hosting an author of the month book club.
Oh.
And so they would bring someone who had written about something that's to do with the single payer healthcare justice revolution. And they would come and present their book. And so Wendell Potter was one of the people that came to the Washington. And this is how these connections for the film were made. And the other author, is Dr. Joe Jarvis, who is actually a conservative for single payer in Utah. Mm-hmm. He is a 30-year public health physician, and he has been pushing and lobbying his legislators on both sides of the political aisle, but obviously probably primarily Republicans because he is in Utah. Mm-hmm. He's even run for office. He's been a member of PNHP, which is Physicians for a National Health Plan. He's been involved in this fight for years and years and also has authored a number of books. The book that he presented to Whole Washington is called The Purple World, Healing the Harm in American Healthcare. And so we put him in touch with Kenny Ballantyne, in touch with Dr. Joe Jarvis. He traveled to Utah, and his interview, he's got all of why single payer should be a conservative value. It's fiscally responsible, you know, and it's he's got all of the things of why conservatives should support single payer. And again, we say over and over again, healthcare is not a partisan issue. It's that they've turned it into a political football.
Okay, so you're going the direct ballot to the people.
Yes.
And you're going the legislative ballot. So when, if we get enough signatures, could we expect to see it on the ballot for Washington voters?
That's a great question. Thank you. Right. So we need 360,000, but with the buffer that the Secretary of State recommends, it's 400,000 is what we're shooting for. And our deadline is the end of December.
How many do we have?
Okay, I'm just going to answer it. Right now, we only count what is officially entered into our system.
Right.
So we have people that are entering data.
You have a lag.
We have a lag. What is officially entered into our system at this point is sitting just below 50,000. So if we look at the if we look at it as just this linear trajectory, if we stay on the trajectory we're on, which is the current number of active volunteers and what they're able to do, it's obvious that we will not make that goal in
time.
Well,
it's not going to be easy. It's not impossible.
It's not impossible.
But it would be miraculous.
It would be miraculous. So we need a lot of people to get involved and say that they're going to donate if they don't have the time to wholewashington.org, or gather 20 signatures, or become a signature captain. A signature captain is responsible for, not necessarily having to gather. For example, myself being both on the board and also a signature captain, I have gathered quite a few signatures myself, but I also have petitions down at a few local businesses, and they are handing me filled petition sheets.
Great.
Every time I go in there, speaking of Wright Park, I go down to Supernova Hair Salon, and they are hosting the petitions. Every time I go down and check with them, they've got a few more sheets filled up
for
me.
Have you done the antique sandwich shop? They were really good last time.
I have not. So I
have not. Give me some and I'll take them down.
Okay.
So, and the other way you're doing it is legislatively. What is your timeline for that?
Well, I started to say at the beginning, just for clarification, that this being a ballot initiative to the legislature, if we do manage to mobilize, because we are getting new volunteers all the time.
Yeah.
That is, we are growing. And the question is if we're going to grow exponentially enough to get us there. If we do, and we do manage to pull off 400,000 or close to it signatures by the end of December, it would be on next fall's ballot, the ballot of November 2023. Because it's an initiative to the legislature, it will go to the ballot as it exactly is.
Uh-huh.
But the legislature has the power to pass it outright once we get the signatures.
That
is the thing that we need. It's not, you know, most of us are like, they won't do that. Well, because they take all this corporate money. But it's important that people know that. It's important that people know they have the power to do this. If we gather nearly 500,000 signatures by volunteer and nurse efforts out there asking our community, it is important that people understand if the legislators don't pass it or at least give it a public hearing, they are absolutely derelict in their duty. Now, so if, but if, so they could choose to be the heroes and sheroes, they could do that. And if not, their choices are they can just let it go to the ballot as is, or they could also put a competing measure on the ballot. Historically, that's almost never done, but we are talking about absolutely turning the industry upside down. And so this is why it's so important that we're out there building a truly cohesive community-based organization of people that feel so passionately about it. Because if we do make the ballot, we can expect a whole lot of opposition to this. You know, it may just be that they send it to the ballot as is and they throw out a lot of ads trying to fearmonger people. Mm-hmm. We don't really know how that will play out, but next year would be the Get Out the Vote campaign, so our campaign would look a little different. If we don't make the ballot and we don't collect the signatures that we need, we do like to let people know, because people like to frame this as a failure, and it's not. In every attempt that we have made so far, and this time is the biggest of those, we have added more people to the whole Washington database. So we have what we didn't have the sort of experience and foresight to think about doing in 2018 with Initiative 1600 was we didn't have a column on the petition for people to opt in. Mm-hmm. They just signed it and put their address and name and whatever. So we didn't have gather their contact information. And this time we have an optional column. Again, it's completely optional, but we do love it when people add either their phone number or their email or both. And then what that means is they can get campaign updates. Hopefully then the next time we send out an email or a text banking saying, hey, we're showing Healing Us in Tacoma, for example. Right. There, everyone then that has signed is now in the loop of this right. coalition. So as much as I'm like, please, let's mobilize enough people, this is still possible. We can still do it. There's a woman in Olympia who just surpassed 2,000 signatures. You know, and these kinds of stories do, they bring the goosebumps and they're like, wow, that's hours of work. That is dedication. This is the level of dedication that we have in this organization. And if we could just light that wildfire and get more people, it is still possible. But we do like to let people know this has not been a failure. This is a huge success. We are on the march. We are on the pathway, and every new person that we bring into our coalition, every new endorsement, every new person that we speak to in the community who's now linked in, that is a huge win for the movement.
It sure is. And do you know what? It's actually been an hour that we've been talking.
Oh, my goodness.
I knew that you had a lot to say. So, but let's, for the listener, one more time, give them the links. WholeWashington.org.
Yep. And let me just say, there will be one of the first things when you go to WholeWashington.org, it'll have volunteer. If you click on that, you can fill out the volunteer form, and it will just, and don't be intimidated by that. Volunteer could mean anything from sharing on social media, mm-hmm. There's all different levels. Okay. So don't get too intimidated. And the other thing is, we as a statewide coalition, Whole Washington meets every Monday night on Zoom at 7 p.m. So again, if you go to the website and you click under events, like the calendar, you will see that you can sign up for a Monday evening Zoom meeting at 7 o'clock. And that's a wonderful place to go because you get the orientation. You don't have to go to every meeting, but if you go check in and find out, you know, that's a good way to link in.
And also, if you happen to be downtown near Wright Park on Wednesday at 11:30, that's another way. They're on Facebook. Now,
we're on TikTok. Apparently,
yeah. Andre Stackhouse is the volunteer coordinator.
Correct.
And if you're wondering how to get petitions, I know that if you volunteer and connect with any of those people, events, or sites, you will get some petitions, and you too can be helping to get 450,000 signatures.
400.
It's 400. Okay.
Yep.
400,000 signatures.
Yep.
By the end of December, you could create a miracle. Yes. Here in Washington. And Laura, it's so exciting to even be around you. Your focus and your dedication, and now your expertise and fluidity. Oh, and your creativity. I just love to be around you.
Oh, thank you. And you know, thank you for, because we all have our gifts to the movement. You know, if listeners like love this interview and they want to hear more about the policy, I'll put you in touch with Andre Stackhouse, and he speaks the policy when you speak of fluency. He speaks to the policy so clearly and sharply and can answer every single detailed question. It is all on the website. My contributions are, I'm not a policy wonk, and I speak to the creative aspects of
you sure
movement
do.
Building. So this is why I'm saying that, you know, you don't have to be a policy expert. All you have to know is how to connect somebody to how they can get their questions answered. So everyone can contribute.
Everybody's got something they can give.
Absolutely.
Now, I think the listener might be concerned about, with the petition and the signatures, you don't sell or give away their information to anybody, do you?
Absolutely not. And that is also because that is a very, very valid concern. No, we do not. And a matter of fact, when people are just... if they have a concern about that and they don't want to be added to the database and they don't want to be contacted, we do honor that. Just so you know, when we enter these signatures in, if people haven't filled out the opt-in column with their email or phone number, what we do when we enter the signatures is we only put the zip code. We don't add their address or anything.
Oh, that's important.
We just only add the zip code, and basically what that does is and we don't add their name. It gets entered in as thank you for your, you know, that's a signature. Tick.
Yeah.
And that way, and then these are kept in a secure location. They do need to be given to the Secretary of State because obviously they have to count them. All right. But if people are very concerned, no, we do not share them out with any party or any other organization.
I just wanted to bring that
absolutely
up. Yeah.
And that's and that is important.
So do you
important.
Have any petitions in your car that I can have?
Yes, I do. I always have petitions.
Well, we're going to wind up here.
Yes.
Okay. And thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing your excitement, Laura, today. It's great to see you again. And it's a wrap.
Thank you so much.